Hey everybody, and welcome to The Deep Dive. We're diving into reverse mortgages today, especially for all you homeowners in Queens.
It's a hot topic for sure.
It is. And we've got this really interesting article from Jet Direct Mortgage. It was published just recently on February 24th, 2025.
Oh yeah, I saw that one.
You know, as you reach retirement age, you really start to think about your finances in a different light. And for a lot of people, their home is their most valuable asset.
Especially in a place like Queens, property values have just skyrocketed.
Right. So this article really got me thinking, how can you tap into that home equity to, you know, make your retirement a little more comfortable?
And that's where reverse mortgages come in.
Exactly. Now, I'm sure some of you listening have heard of reverse mortgages, but maybe you haven't really looked into the details.
It can be a little confusing at first.
It can. So let's break it down. Basically, a reverse mortgage lets you borrow money against the value of your home.
And the best part, no monthly payments.
That's right. Instead of you paying the bank every month, like with a traditional mortgage, the bank is essentially paying you.
In a way, yeah. You're converting some of that home equity, the money you've built up in your home over the years, into cash.
So let's paint a picture here. Imagine you're a senior homeowner in Queens. You've paid off your mortgage, which is a huge accomplishment, by the way.
Absolutely.
But maybe you're finding that your fixed income isn't stretching as far as it used to. You know, everyday expenses are going up.
Everything's more expensive these days.
Right. So could a reverse mortgage be a way to, you know, ease some of that financial stress?
It could be. But it's really important to understand how these loans work because they're very different from traditional mortgages.
Okay, so walk me through it.
Okay, so with a reverse mortgage, you're not required to make any monthly payments.
We've established that. It sounds pretty good so far.
It does. But the loan isn't repaid until you either sell the home, move out permanently, or, well, pass away. Ah, okay. So in the meantime, all that borrowed money is just sitting there accruing interest, even though you're not making payments, right?
Exactly. That's a really important point to keep in mind. The article gave a good example. Let's say you borrowed $150,000 at a 5% interest rate.
Okay, I'm following along.
After just 1 year, your loan balance would be over $157,000.
Wow. So even though you're not making payments, that debt can really snowball over time.
Yeah, that's the trade-off. You get the cash up front, but that balance keeps growing.
I can see how the benefits might outweigh the costs for some people.
Oh, absolutely. Especially if it means being able to stay in their home and cover those rising expenses. I mean, think about it. Staying in your home, in your community, that can be priceless for a lot of seniors.
Absolutely. It's about so much more than just the financial aspect. It's about maintaining your independence, staying close to loved ones, all of that.
Exactly. But like with any financial decision, it's all about weighing your options. Speaking of options, this article talked about something that really caught my eye. It was this idea of growing your line of credit with a reverse mortgage.
Oh, that's a good one. It's one of the lesser known benefits, but it can be a real game changer.
I have to admit, it almost sounds too good to be true. Explain this to me.
Okay, so picture this. You take out a reverse mortgage, but you don't actually need all the money right away. So you leave some of it, the unused portion, just sitting there in your line of credit.
All right.
Now, here's the interesting part. That unused portion of your line of credit actually grows over time.
Wait, hold on. The money I don't borrow is actually increasing. How is that possible?
Think of it like compound interest, but in reverse. Instead of your savings growing, it's your available credit that's increasing. So let's say you have a $100,000 line of credit, but initially you only need $20,000. That remaining $80,000 could actually grow, giving you access to even more money down the road.
Wow, I'm starting to see how this could be incredibly valuable, especially as you get older and might face unexpected expenses.
Exactly. It's like a safety net that's also growing.
Okay, so we've talked about some of the potential upsides, but let's be real. Are there any downsides to reverse mortgages that our listeners should be aware of?
Of course. Like with any financial product, there are risks involved. One of the biggest drawbacks is the high upfront costs. You know, closing costs, fees, all that.
So even though you're not making monthly payments, you're still paying a hefty price to access those funds upfront.
That's right. And we talked earlier about how that loan balance keeps growing because of the interest.
Right. And that means over time, less of your home equity will be passed on to your heirs.
It's definitely something to consider. And there's also the risk that if home values decline significantly, you could actually end up owing more on the loan than the house is worth.
That's a scary thought.
It is. But the article did mention something called FHA insurance. Have you heard of that?
Vaguely. Refresh my memory.
Yeah, so FHA insurance stands for Federal Housing Administration Insurance. It's a key feature of many reverse mortgages, and it acts as a safeguard for both the lender and the borrower. If the loan balance ends up exceeding the home's value when it's sold, the FHA insurance covers the difference.
So that means your heirs wouldn't be stuck with that debt.
Right. It provides some peace of mind.
That's good to know. You know, one question I hear a lot is, if I take out a reverse mortgage, do I still own my home?
That's a common one. And the answer is a resounding yes. You absolutely retain ownership of your home. You're simply leveraging that equity to access funds. It's not like you're selling your home to the bank or anything like that.
So you're still in control, but you have this added financial resource available to you.
Exactly. You're still responsible for property taxes, homeowners insurance, and maintenance, just like with any home, but you have the flexibility to use those funds from the reverse mortgage however you see fit.
I see. So there's still a sense of ownership and responsibility.
Absolutely.
Okay, this is making a lot more sense now. But I imagine there are some situations where a reverse mortgage just might not be the best option.
Oh, for sure. It's crucial to consider all your options and really think about your individual needs and goals. For example, if you're planning to move soon, or if your primary goal is to leave a large inheritance to your heirs, a reverse mortgage might not be the ideal solution.
It's not a one-size-fits-all solution. It's about finding the right tool for the job, so to
Yeah,
speak.
it's all about tailoring your financial strategy to your specific circumstances.
All right, I'm with you. Now, the article mentioned that you need to be at least 62 years old to qualify for a reverse mortgage. Why is there an age restriction?
Well, remember, the loan isn't repaid until the homeowner either sells the home, moves out permanently, or passes away.
Right.
Lenders want to make sure there's enough time for the interest to accrue. It's about managing risk from their perspective.
That makes sense. So, is there a maximum age limit? Could someone in their 80s or 90s still qualify?
Absolutely. In fact, older homeowners often qualify for larger loan amounts because, well, statistically speaking, there's a greater likelihood of the loan being repaid sooner.
Interesting. So, age is actually an advantage in this case. Now, besides age, what other factors determine how much someone can borrow with a reverse mortgage?
One of the biggest factors is, of course, the value of your home. Lenders will appraise the property to determine its current market value.
So the more valuable your home, the more you can potentially borrow.
Generally, yes.
But I'm guessing there's a limit, right? I mean, especially in Queens, where homes can be worth a fortune.
You're right. There are limits. Lenders will take into account either your home's appraised value or the FHA lending limit, whichever is lower.
But even if your Queens brownstone is worth like $2 million, there's a cap on how much you can borrow.
Exactly. Those lending limits help protect both the borrower and the lender.
I see. So it's a way to manage risk for both parties. Okay, that makes sense. You mentioned interest rates earlier. How do those affect the amount someone can borrow?
Interest rates are key. The lower the interest rate, the less interest accrues on the loan over time, which means the lender can offer a larger loan amount.
So if interest rates are low, it's generally a good time to consider a reverse mortgage.
It can be. But again, it depends on your individual situation. It's all about looking at the big picture.
Right. There are always other factors to consider, like your personal financial goals and your overall retirement plan.
Exactly. Now, before I move on, there's one more important piece of the puzzle that can impact how much you actually receive from a reverse mortgage. Any existing mortgage balance you might have on the property.
Oh, right. I almost forgot about that. So if you still have a mortgage on your home, you can't just take out a reverse mortgage on top of it, right?
Exactly. Any existing mortgage must be paid off first using the proceeds from the reverse mortgage. The remaining balance is what you'll actually receive in cash.
So let me make sure I understand. If your home is worth, say, $300,000, but you still owe $50,000 in your mortgage, you'd essentially be borrowing against $250,000 of equity.
Correct. And after paying off that existing mortgage, you'd receive $250,000 minus any fees and closing costs, of course.
Okay, so it's important to factor in any outstanding mortgage debt when you're crunching the numbers. Now, with that in mind, I'm curious about how people are actually using these reverse mortgage funds.
Oh, the possibilities are pretty diverse. The article highlighted some common uses, like covering daily expenses, making home improvements or repairs, paying off debts, even supplementing retirement income.
I can see how those would be helpful, but I'm wondering about the more strategic uses. Like, how can a reverse mortgage help someone achieve their long-term financial goals?
That's a great question. One example that comes to mind is using a reverse mortgage to delay tapping into retirement savings. A lot of people are concerned about outliving their savings, and this can be a smart strategy to make those funds last longer.
Could you elaborate on that?
Sure. So imagine a senior who wants to delay taking withdrawals from their retirement accounts to minimize their tax burden later on. A reverse mortgage can provide a source of income in those early years of retirement, allowing those retirement funds to continue growing tax deferred.
I get it. It's about being strategic with your finances and potentially reducing your tax liability in the long run. That's pretty clever.
It is. And it can help preserve those retirement savings for when you really need them, like for unexpected healthcare costs down the line.
I see what you mean. It's about creating a sense of security and knowing that you have resources available to navigate those unexpected challenges in life.
Absolutely. But we also have to talk about the potential impact of a reverse mortgage on things like Medicaid eligibility.
Right. The article touched on that briefly, but it's a topic that deserves a bit more attention.
Definitely. It can get a bit complicated, and it's really important to consult with a financial advisor or a benefits specialist to understand the specific rules and regulations in your state.
So it's not a simple yes or no answer. It really depends on the individual circumstances.
Exactly. In some cases, a reverse mortgage could potentially affect your eligibility for Medicaid or other government benefits, but it's not always a barrier. It really depends on how the reverse mortgage is structured.
Got it. So the key takeaway is to get personalized advice from a qualified expert who can guide you through the process and make sure you're making the best decision for your situation.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Well, folks, I think we've covered a lot of ground in this first part of our deep dive into reverse mortgages in Queens. We've talked about how they work, the potential benefits and drawbacks, and even some of the strategic ways they can be used.
We've just scratched the surface.
We have. In the next part of the episode, we're going to tackle some of the common concerns and misconceptions about reverse mortgages. We'll also give you some tips on how to navigate the process and make informed decisions.
And we'll be exploring those intriguing ways reverse mortgages can be used to enhance your retirement plan and potentially help you live a more secure and enjoyable retirement.
So stick with us, deep divers. We'll be back in a flash.
We'll be right here.
Welcome back to the deep dive. We're continuing our deep dive into reverse mortgages. And, you know, I think it's time to address some of those concerns and maybe clear up some misconceptions that people have about these loans.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of myths and misinformation floating around out there.
There is. One of the biggest ones I hear all the time is, if I take out a reverse mortgage, I'm going to lose my home.
Oh, that's a classic. And it's completely false.
So there's no truth to that at all?
None whatsoever. With a reverse mortgage, you still retain full ownership of your home.
So it's not like the bank is going to come in and kick you out.
No, no, no. You continue to live there. You're responsible for the property taxes, the insurance, the upkeep, everything. It's just like owning any other home.
Okay, that's a relief to hear. But I can see how that myth might take hold. After all, you are borrowing against your home's value.
Right, but it's important to remember that the loan isn't repaid until you sell the home, move out permanently, or pass away.
Right.
So until then, you're still the homeowner. You're still in control.
So what are some other common myths you come across?
Well, another one is that reverse mortgages are only for people who are in dire financial straits. You know, like they're about to lose their home or something.
Right, like it's a last resort.
Exactly, but that's just not true. A lot of people use reverse mortgages as part of a proactive retirement planning strategy.
I see. So it's not just about, you know, getting quick cash when you're in trouble.
Yeah.
It can be a way to actually improve your financial situation in retirement.
Precisely. And some financial advisors are hesitant to recommend reverse mortgages. They say, oh, it should only be a last resort. But like any financial tool, it depends on how you use it.
It's not inherently good or bad. It's about whether it's the right fit for your individual situation.
Right. You have to weigh the pros and cons, look at your goals, your circumstances, and decide if a reverse mortgage makes sense for you.
And it sounds like getting advice from a trusted financial professional is key.
Absolutely. A financial advisor or a reverse mortgage specialist can help you navigate all the complexities, compare different loan options, and make sure you're making an informed decision.
Okay, so we've debunked a couple of myths. Now, I want to shift gears a bit and talk about some of the legitimate concerns that people have about reverse mortgages.
Sure, let's dive in.
We've already touched on things like the upfront costs, the growing loan balance, and how that can impact what your heirs inherit. Are there any other red flags people should be aware of?
Well, one thing that's really important is choosing a reputable lender.
Ah, yes, that makes sense.
Reverse mortgages can be complex, and unfortunately, there are some shady lenders out there who might try to take advantage of seniors.
So how can our listeners protect themselves? How do they know if they're dealing with a trustworthy lender?
Do your research. Check the lender's credentials. Read online reviews. See if there are any complaints filed against them with the Better Business Bureau or your state's regulatory agency.
So don't just go with the first lender you find or the one with the flashiest advertising.
Exactly. Shop around. Compare offers from multiple lenders.
I know the article mentioned that Jet Direct Mortgage has a mobile app called Jet Direct Mobile. Could that be a helpful tool for, researching reverse mortgage options?
It could be. A lot of lenders are using technology to make it easier for people to access information and compare options. So yeah, a mobile app like that could allow you to get personalized quotes, see interest rates, fees, and even connect with a loan specialist directly.
Wow. It's like having a financial advisor in your pocket.
Right. Technology is making things a lot more convenient.
Okay, so we've talked about choosing a reputable lender. What other concerns should our listeners be thinking about?
Another important point is to carefully review those loan terms and conditions.
Ah, yes, the fine print.
Exactly. Make sure you understand the interest rate, the fees, the repayment options, and any potential penalties for things like early repayment or default. Don't be afraid to ask questions if anything is unclear.
That's so important. It's your home, your money, your future. You have every right to ask questions and make sure you understand what you're signing up for.
Couldn't agree more.
Now, I remember you mentioned earlier that the Department of Housing and Urban Development, or HUD, offers counseling services for seniors who are considering reverse mortgages.
That's right. They have a network of HUD-approved housing counseling agencies that provide free, unbiased advice. It's a great resource.
It's like having a neutral third party in your corner, helping you make the best decision for your situation.
Exactly. And many reputable lenders also have educational materials and resources available on their websites or through those mobile apps we were talking about. So there's really no excuse for not being informed.
It's great that there are so many resources available to help people navigate this process. Now, I want to shift gears a little bit and talk more about the strategic use of reverse mortgages, specifically as part of a broader retirement plan.
Oh, I love this part. It's where things get really interesting.
It does. We're going to explore how reverse mortgages can be used to maybe delay tapping into those retirement savings, potentially reduce your tax burden in the future, and even help create a more secure and enjoyable retirement experience.
It's all about being proactive and thinking outside the box.
So stay tuned, deep divers. We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors. Just kidding. We don't have any sponsors, remember. We're just here to share some valuable information. So stick with us. We'll be diving right back into this fascinating topic in just a moment. We're wrapping up our exploration of reverse mortgages here in Queens, and I'm really excited to dig into this idea of using a reverse mortgage strategically as part of your retirement plan. And it's not just about getting that lump sum of cash, but how can you actually use that money wisely?
Yeah. Thinking long term is key. One of the most powerful ways to use a reverse mortgage is actually to delay tapping into your retirement savings.
Now, that's a concept I can get behind. You're always hearing about, making retirement savings last, stretching them out. But how does a reverse mortgage help you do that?
All right, so think about it like this. You've worked hard. You've saved diligently, contributed to that 401k or IRA. Now, in retirement, those funds are hopefully still growing, but you've also got to start taking withdrawals to, cover your living expenses.
Right. And those withdrawals are taxed as income.
Exactly. And that can really eat into your savings. So now imagine this. You use a reverse mortgage to supplement your income in those early years of retirement. Instead of touching those savings right away, you can let them keep growing.
And they're growing tax deferred, right?
Precisely. So you're not only reducing your tax burden now, but potentially increasing your overall wealth down the road.
I'm seeing the appeal here. Lower taxes in the present and potentially more money later. It's a win-win.
Exactly. And there's another plus to this strategy. By preserving those retirement savings, you're creating a safety net. For unexpected expenses or those dreaded healthcare costs down the line.
Peace of mind is priceless.
Yeah.
Knowing you have those resources available if and when you need them.
Absolutely. You know, beyond just the dollars and cents, we should also consider the emotional and psychological aspects of using a reverse mortgage.
Oh, that's an interesting perspective. Tell me more.
Well, think about a senior who's living on a tight budget. They might have to cut back on things they enjoy, travel less, maybe skip social events just to make ends meet.
I can only imagine how tough that would be.
It is. It can really affect their well-being. But if that same senior used a reverse mortgage, it could give them the freedom to keep doing the things they love, stay connected with friends and family, maintain an active lifestyle.
About quality of life.
Exactly. Maintaining that independence, pursuing your passions, that's what makes retirement truly enjoyable.
I'm so glad we've had this conversation. I've always thought of reverse mortgages as, well, a bit of a last resort. But you've really opened my eyes to the possibilities. They can be a powerful tool for creating a more secure and enjoyable retirement.
Absolutely. It's about shifting your perspective and seeing the potential.
Now, before we sign off, I want to bring it back to our listeners in Queens. Given the current economic climate, those rising housing costs, how do you think reverse mortgages might play into retirement planning in the years to come?
Great question. We're seeing this convergence of trends right now. Housing costs are soaring, which means seniors are sitting on more home equity than ever before. But at the same time, inflation is eating away at those savings, and people are living longer, so those savings have to stretch even further.
So you're saying reverse mortgages could become even more important for seniors in the future?
I think it's a real possibility. As those economic pressures keep building, tapping into home equity might become a more attractive option.
Like it goes from this niche product to a more mainstream solution.
Exactly. And that's why it's crucial to stay informed and explore all the options available to you.
Well, folks, I think we've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive. We talked about the ins and outs of reverse mortgages, the good, the bad, and even how you can use them strategically to boost your retirement plan.
It's been a great discussion. I hope our listeners feel more confident about making informed decisions about their financial future.
I second that. Knowledge is power, and the more you know about your financial options, the better prepared you'll be to create that secure and fulfilling retirement that you deserve. Thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive.
Always a pleasure.